Well, let's get into the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And Lord willing, if we tackle two verses tonight, it'll be something. You're all getting nervous now. But the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we're in that 32nd verse, and I'll read through the 33rd. And what shall I say more? What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued or conquered kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. So wonderful. There's so many numerous victories of faith as this starts out here, and what shall I more say, that it would be impossible to record them all, wouldn't it now? You think about all of the different things that are mentioned in the Word of God, and sometimes I think you probably have pondered as well too, how much more really occurred. You ever thought about that? Because you know it wasn't just limited to this. God is on the move all the time and in every age and generation and kindred. But I could stand here and testify of my own life that on a daily basis, there's numerous victories. And I know that I could stand and testify here, and each one of us would get up and say, without the wonderful work of faith in my life, I couldn't get through one day. Because there's things that you're choosing each moment of your life. You're choosing not just this day whom you'll serve. It's every moment. And it's such a sweet moment when you can seize faith by the grace of God and say, Lord, I'm going with you. And I can see the enemy attacking. Very much, I'm just telling you, in so many ways right now. And do lift up the meeting at this time. And I'm seeing them in young people especially, and I'm talking about young marrieds. You know, that's been on my heart. And see, we get to seeing things, and I appreciated visiting with a man today, how they always say, well, the grass is greener on the other side. You know, the pasture's a little better on that side, or different things. And, you know, if you take care of your own lawn and you fertilize it and everything like that, it's amazing how wonderful it'll grow. Ever thought about that? And you think about that, really, what is Song of Solomon all about and her field and how she tends to her things? And that's so wonderful. Before you start looking at everything else, look what God has given you. Look at His plan for your life. And it's right here, just like Sister Jenny was praying for. That we see His plan. And it's not hard to see His plan. It's before us. And by faith, we can make that decision, really, that to go with God. But it's every moment. It's in everything. And that's that same thing that the Lord has impressed upon my life. Jesse, don't hold back anything from your life. We sing that wonderful song, Is Your All on the Altar Laid? Is it all on here? This is what we're after, is God's best. He's been dealing with me about something for Sunday I think has been very, very precious and special to me there in Philippians 3. That not just because, oh, I'm finding something new. I think He shows me something new every day. And it's His same wonderful word that's always been there in the beginning. And praise God that He does become new like that. But again, to have the faith to get through the day. And I'm going to have the faith to get through this verse if I don't start going with it here. But first we're going to talk about Brother Gideon. This was Israel's fourth judge. And Israel is at a very low point at this time. They're being severely ruled under the hand of the Midianites. But you know, it wasn't their enslavery to these Midianites that was really their low point. It was their worship of Baal at this time. And it wasn't just the worship of Baal. How far they fell, you might mark this and read it. It's Judges 6. Verse 28 through 30, you'll go into read there that these were God's chosen people. They sunk to such a low that they made it an actual crime that was punishable by death if you did not worship Baal. These were God's people. I've had people say to me, well, how could that person be a Christian and now they're a Buddhist? How could that person be a Christian and now they're caught up into witchcraft? I don't believe they ever really believed in God. These were God's chosen people. Know what you're dealing with here. It's called flesh. And but for the grace of God, there go I. But see, God's a merciful God. And He's after His people. And if you're a child of God, He's after you. The Spirit's all over you. It really is. By the grace of God, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you've even had the Spirit come in you. So wonderful. But again, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. By the grace of God, help us to be willing. If there's anything ever really to pray, if you don't know what to pray for, Lord, make me willing. He can do something with a willing heart. Brother Hill used to talk about break up that fallow ground which is in the Word of God. When you're hardened, it's not going to work. There's nothing to work with. Why does it say in the Word of God to mold me and make me after thy will? Amen. I need to be pliable. I need to be workable. See, I want to be transformed into something that's pleasing to Him. And that's not going to happen when I'm conformed to this world. When I'm hardened by things. When I think I have to have something because my flesh desires that. I hope you're staying with me on this. Because it's so important. And see, this world's coming at you today. Well, that's the way you were born. Or if it feels right, do it. That's not the way of God. God has given you an incorruptible seed. We are like one another. If we're children of God here today, that's who we really are, and that's what we're really like. We are like one another. Now let's live like we are, which is the new creation. Praise Him. But again, that's how low that they sunk. And again, that's how merciful our God is. Because you think about it, how many times over and over again did God have great mercy on him when he should have just vaporized him right there? But so Israel was in a bad way and they needed a man of valor. And let's turn over to Judges 6. That's Judges chapter 6. And they needed a man of valor. And in verse 12 it says, "And the angel of the Lord..." And we're going to read about that wonderful angel of the Lord, "appeared unto him and said unto him," and this is unto Gideon, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Oh, I love the Lord saying that to this man here. And that's the wonderful angel of the Lord, our Savior, always there to encourage us and encourage the vessel of God. And I love this conversation. Let's continue to read verse 13 through 16 here in Judges 6. "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us?" He had great faith, didn't he? And the Lord called him a mighty man of valor. And see, the Lord called him that, but he wasn't that yet, was he now? See, we're nothing apart from God. But God knows what he's going to make of that vessel. Now trust him. What does God say he'll make of you? Did he say he'd make grow you up into all things? Did he say he'd perfect you? Oh, man. He said you can know the perfect will of God. Isn't that awesome? Sit you on a throne to rule and reign with him. Now, God has said that. Now, you're going to enter into that or not? And again, this is Gideon. This is what we're reading about today. This is what we've been reading about, Lord willing, for the last 6 months. By faith. It's all yours. It's there. He's promised it to you if you'll believe it. He that wills will know. It's the willing heart. "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, where be all of his miracles? And which our fathers told us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him." Isn't that wonderful that the Lord looked upon him? See, they're doing something else. "And said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" "And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." Just as one man, all those great Midianites, he's going to take them out just as one. This is the epitome of humility. I love this. The wonderful preparation of the called of God before they are ever used. This was like Moses when he was sent after 40 years with Pharaoh. And I really do believe that after 40 years with Pharaoh, he thought he was ready at that time. He thought he would be ready to deliver. He thought he was ready to, in a sense, rein in the steed that God has had for him because he had the training. He didn't have humility yet. I really don't believe that. And that's why I sent him on the backside of a desert to tend sheep for 40 years. We'll complain about 40 minutes if we have to sit still and do things. This is something that God promised to Moses. And he had to wait for it, didn't he? And by the grace of God, he was patient in that waiting. Why does God tell us? Through His Word, the runner is patient. The race is to the patient one. It's a patient race. The wonderful temperance and discipline that works with it, that effectually works the knowledge that we get from God. It is all patience. But so wonderful that God, again, has to get us to a state of when we are nothing, that He's stripped us of everything, and then He can use us. We're mighty men of valor out here. Do we believe that? You're looking around saying, oh no, there's just no way. I'm a man that needs to go to sleep. Huh? But you're mighty men of valor. If you'll get rid of yourself. Do you know that? Do you know how powerful you are? The Lord said, this great power, these works that I've done, and mightier works ye shall do. Because He's given us the Spirit of power. Hallelujah. He has given us that power, that Holy Spirit that can move in us and make us into the greatest thing that God could give to His Son, which would be the bride of Christ. But Gideon says, and I love this, my family's poor and I'm the least. I'm helpless and I'm from helpless. I thought of this, I'm the trash of the trash. He's looking around. I could see this befuddled little poor guy. And he was looking for anybody else to help him save it. And he was just sitting there moaning, oh Lord, you know, all these stories that they told us of, you know, our families being delivered out of Egypt and all this great things that I've heard and all this. And look at us. And you're going to give us somebody to deliver? Who is it? You know, I could just see this guy. Because I see me sometimes. Jesse, I want you to do this. Which Jesse are you talking to? You know, it's kind of like that. But see, it's the Lord. And He got him right in the perfect place that He wanted him. He says, I've got you right now where I want you, completely decreased. Now go in my strength and deliver Israel. You feel like that tonight? Are you exhausted? Has He got you fully drained? Your intelligence not going to get you through now? All that strength, all that know-how, all that upbringing, all that goodness that you thought you were. Hmm? You going to get rid of it? He can do something with you when you get to that point. Oh, He can do such a mighty thing in your life. It's hard to get there, though, you know that? It's hard to get there. He's chastening whom He loves. He's going to press us. He's going to put us in the furnace. He's going to have us go against things that are going to touch the most precious things to us. And He's going to say, you still have faith to trust me? You're willing to take your only son, the promise that I've given you, Abraham, and bring him up there and sacrifice him to me? I don't know if I'm to that point yet. I don't. But by faith, I trust God that He will complete me, that He will finish that faith in me and make me all pleasing to His Son. That's why I run. That's why I run patiently. That's why it's worth it all, isn't it? Because I'm going to see Him someday. I'm going to see Him someday. And I believe by the grace of God, I'm going to apprehend Him. I do. I have faith, not in me. I have faith in His Word, what He's promised, if I'll take hold of it. Now get rid of Jess, get rid of this flesh stuff, and get on with the Spirit and the things of God. And that's what He wants from us. Hallelujah. But see, Philippians 4:13 happens when we do this, when we take a hold of Him by faith and get humble. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And with just 300 men, God delivered the thousands of Midianites in His hand. The Lord encouraged me to talk about this angel of the Lord. There's many, many verses in it, and I'd encourage you to go back and study it. But a lot of people will get so fascinated with angels. I'm just going to tell you that. And I don't know if it's true or not, and I'm just going to tell you. There's a couple times and instances in my life, and both of them happened at work. Two different people at different times and years came in. And the one lady, I always remember, she walked in my office and she said, "Oh, there's angels all around you." I don't know if she was, never mind, but, and it may be so. And then a man that I knew, a very godly man, after I got to know him a little bit, the very first time he saw me, he said, "Saw these angels," or whatever. And I always remember, as the Lord really brought me into thinking about the angel of the Lord, well, that's my Jesus. That's my Jesus. And if He has angels protecting me, which the Word of God says at certain things and certain times, that's wonderful too. But my confidence is in Him. Now, what He uses, that's fine with me too. But He's my provider, right? Amen. Amen. We may be entertaining angels just when we're speaking to somebody. We don't know that. That's why we better condescend to anything that we ever see. Condescend to men of low estate, the Word of God says. And it's a wonder when those things happen. And it's a wonder when things of the Lord can just so affect our lives. But I wanted to give you a few verses for this proof of the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, and especially the angel of the Lord in the Abrahamic covenant, is Christ. That angel of the Lord is Christ. Turn with me to Genesis 22. And we did read this a few weeks ago. And we'll just kind of start here and just pick out a few verses. But I think this will just encourage you that this is the Jesus that was yesterday, today, and forever. And He's doing such a mighty work today in our lives through His wonderful Holy Spirit to take out a name of people for His name's sake. But in Genesis 22:11-12, it says, "And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven," and this is to Abraham. "And he said, Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And this is obviously when he's going to offer up Isaac. "And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God." So this is the angel of the Lord speaking to him. And he says, "I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." See how he refers to God, and then he refers to himself, which is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Himself. "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns." And I'm telling you, Jesus was even nearer than that ram, wasn't he? Hallelujah. See, the lamb was with him. The lamb spoke to him. And that's what's so sweet. Now let's turn over to Exodus 23. That's Exodus 23. Verses 20 through 23. And this is to Moses. "Behold, I send an angel before thee, to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him." Beware of this angel. "And obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions." Now, what angel could ever pardon your transgression? I only know of one that can pardon my transgressions. And that's my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's who exactly this is. "For my name is in him." Oh. "He who has seen me has seen the Father. I am." And they fell down. This is who is talking about here. "But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak," and notice there, if you obey his voice, it does all that he speaks. He is the voice of God. He is the voice of God. "Then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries." And you think you don't have somebody defending you all the time? Like I said, don't try to defend yourself. It's a waste of time. "For mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee into the Amorites and all of those different ones and cut them off." Isn't that precious? That's your same Jesus. Yesterday, today, and forever. And the last one I'd like you to see is just turn over with me to Isaiah 63:10. Actually, verse 9. "In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them." That's an angel that can redeem. And that is, you know, when they talk about your guardian angel. Your guardian angel is the angel of the Lord. It's Jesus Christ. And he bare them and carried them all the days of old. And that is your Jesus. He bears you and he carries you. So that is the angel of the Lord is Jesus Christ. All right, going on. Barak, Judges 4 and 5. Now, this was when Jabin, the king of Canaan, was oppressing Israel at this time. And this was sweet Deborah was the judge at this time. And through Deborah, God speaks to Barak and tells him to take 10,000 men down to a river. And he says, I will deliver the multitude of Jabin's army into thy hand. And this again is in Judges 4. The sweet thing about Barak is that he believed and he obeyed because he heard God. He listened to God. God is speaking to us all the time, isn't he? People say, well, I don't hear God. It's because you're not fellowshipping in the Word of God. It's all around you. And he's speaking to you and he's calling us. And he's calling us, he's saying to us, come out from among them and be ye separate. And why do you think the Lord does that? Because he wants to get intimate with you. He wants to bring you to a place where you will know him. That you can fellowship with him in a way just like you do and you see the ones that are the lovers do. They need to come away. They need to get alone with him. And that's what God wants you to do with his son, is to get alone, listen to him, believe him, and let him move in your life. And the wonderful story goes on to that sweet Jael. She drove that tent spike. You ever want to get some exciting stories, you need to get in here and, you know, read these things. You know, these kids want some violence and some different gore and things like that. And I'll tell you what, there's some of that too in the Word of God. When he deals with you, let me tell you something. He's an adversary to your adversaries, isn't he? Is he an enemy to your enemies? See, when they touch you, they touch the apple of God's eye. When I really, really, really realized that, I was in my late 20s. Because I was always going to get you. If you got me, I was going to figure out a way I'm going to get you. You know, and I was going to just out kind of smart you, at least I thought, and different things like that. But then I knew who fought for me. Who fights my battles. I've watched men dig pits for me, and I saw them all fall in it. I'm telling you the truth. I've seen people come after me in such a mighty way like a roaring lion. And I'll tell you, there were times that I feared. I did. But you know what? I let him know that I was fearing. I didn't just hide and say, oh, I'm giving up. I said, oh, no, Lord, you love me. You love me. And I know the Lord's preparing me for different things. If Jesus tarries, I got two boys growing up. And I see this old world and I see the roaring lion that's out there. And he's fierce. But I know there's something greater that keeps me, keeps my wife, keeps my children, and keeps you. So sweet. Keeps you, each and every one of you. By faith, take hold of that keeping power. Know that you're resting in the arms of Jesus. It's like I was talking to another man again today. You know, we're talking about different people thinking that they're missing things in the world. Well, this person didn't get to go sow their oats, or this person didn't go. You know what? I'm so thankful that my oats were sowed in God. I didn't miss a thing. I'm thankful the Lord kept me from so many things. I appreciate the ones that the Lord has delivered from the world. I'm thankful that God pretty much kept my life from going that way. I got married real young. Didn't really have that many girlfriends, and my wife ain't even here tonight, so I'm talking. She said, don't talk about me anymore. I said, honey, I can only talk about what the Lord wants to talk about. By his grace, that's all we want to talk about. But really, get attracted to Jesus. See how he loves you. Boring? Oh, no. Oh, no. It's so exciting. It's so pleasant. It's so perfect. For the young people, it's such a rush. It's cool. Beyond. As the little boy said, oh, it's way, Daddy. It's so way. I just can't even tell you. It is thrilling to walk with Christ. And it's thrilling to walk more with Christ each and every day. And I'm so thankful that it's exciting like that. You have a great meal. It's like, you know, you feast with Him. You say, man, Lord, how could I ever have anything more? And then the very next one, man, that was even better. I love You even more. You love Me even more. Only God does that. What am I missing? Absolutely nothing. Because it's Him. But she drove that spike through Sisera's temple. She killed the king's captain. By faith, God wipes them out. And in 1 Samuel 14:6, let's just turn there. I always love that verse. And if you haven't marked it in your Bible, that's 1 Samuel 14:6. I think it's a wonderful verse to just note down in your life. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over into the garrison of these uncircumcised. I really love Jonathan. He's a sweet man. You can see how that hurt David so when the Lord took him home. This was a fellowship. This was a love. And God's love that they shared. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord. See, there's no restraint. There's nothing too big. There's no obstacle too big. There's no situation too great. To the Lord to save by many or by few. And I love His armor bearer. Do you see that this is the kind of witness you can have to people around you? Are you listening? This is the kind of witness you can have to people around you. And His armor bearer said unto him, I could just see him looking at him. Do all that is within thy heart, man. I can see the love of God in your life. There was power there. And what they were going up against and how many men they were going up against, if that guy didn't see the love of God in his life, he would have said, what's the matter with you? What's wrong with you? We need to get out of here. But this is God we're talking about. And He's always for you. And who could be against you? Again, knowing how He protects and loves us. What precious faith that we can have in that. And see, this isn't provoking God. There's some people that will provoke God with things. There's a difference. This is believing God in His Word for absolute deliverance. I've seen people try to abuse the things of God in a sense. And that wasn't the things of God that they were abusing anyways. Where they try to do something absolutely stupid. Or outside of the will of God. Those are one and the same. Outside of the will of God and stupid really kind of go together. Been there, done that. Thank God that He still loves me and keeps me from doing that. Just like these ones that were worshiping Baal at that time. Just like when Moses comes down from the mount, there they were and they knew he was going up to do such a special thing and to bring them the Word of God. And then they're down there worshiping that golden calf. That's in you too. Do you get it? Could you understand that? I was talking to a Catholic man the other day. Saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, Roman Catholic. That'll kind of get you, won't it? I said, what are you doing in there, man? He says, I'll tell you what, the Lord, I know it's the strangest thing, but I believe He's got me having a testimony to these kids and different things. Pray for him. His name's George. Lord willing, I'll give you a testimony on that one. It really will just amaze you. But you know, and I'll give you something even more amazing. He's Jewish. Give you something more amazing. When he was 10 years old, when he was at the Reform, Jewish Reform, he told his rabbi, you know, I've grown up with these Catholics. What's this thing about Jesus? Rabbi said, well, you know, they just believe in that. He says, well, what's this about the New Testament? He says, well, I've studied it, son. And he says, as far as I know and everything I can tell you, everything in it is historically accurate. He said, okay, would you mind if I read it? And he said, oh, okay, that's fine. You can go ahead and read it. So what he did is he went to the Episcopal Church. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about it right now. It's just too exciting. So he went to the Episcopal Church on Sundays, studied, and there was a man that was saved in the Episcopal Church that was their priest, and he studied that. 6 months later, he comes back to their what we call like a Sunday school where the kids were 10 to 18 in there. And they just said, the rabbi says, anybody want to share something? And he raised his hand, old George, 10 years old now. And he said, Rabbi, we've missed the boat. Jesus is the Messiah. It's exactly what he said. He went home to his daddy. By the time he got home, the rabbi called. And his dad was a man of love. And he said, George, he said, you know what, son? He said, you have the faith to believe that. And he says, that's okay. And I appreciate that. And his dad, even to this day, had not received the Lord as his Savior. And I think actually he just had passed away a few years ago. But I appreciated that man recognizing that his son had faith. And he really said what challenged me is he said, everything that I read, everything that I saw in the Torah, in the Old Testament there, pointed that this Jesus Christ was the real deal. And he said, the Lord saved me. And then going on in his life, which was so amazing, he was in that Episcopal and he was saved. And he's a colonel at the Air Force here down in Colorado Springs. And it was so sweet because he got up one morning and he said, I know the Lord told me to go to eat breakfast at this place. So he goes down to this place and lo and behold, who's down there? Well, it's the Christian, full gospel, Christians Business Men's Fellowship. And they were eating down there. So he walks in and they said, well, why don't you join us? And he says, okay, I'll join you. So he's eating with them and everything. And the guy, after they ate, the guy stops and he says, well, I want everybody to get up, introduce themselves, and tell us what you're doing down here. So George was first. He says, my name's George. I won't say his last name. I'm a colonel at the Air Force Academy. And he says, I don't know why I'm here. The man looked at him. He says, I know why you're here. He says, you're here to receive the Holy Spirit. George was like, well, I thought I already received the Holy Spirit. You know. And that's air. Well, he said, 25 men came up and laid hands on me. And he said, probably in about 15 seconds, I was speaking in a language I didn't even know. And he says, and I do know that now, and this is him speaking, the evidence of speaking in tongues is the sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a man that is teaching confirmation in a very large Catholic church here in town. Okay? Pray for him and his ministry. He says every one of the kids now in the last year and a half, he left the Episcopal church because of sodomy. He said when they let those homosexuals come in there to the priesthood, said that was enough for me. So I still needed the order, and I believe the Lord brought me over here, and I'm just shaking my head going, oh no, I don't want to hear this. And he said, brother, and he touched my hand, and he says, I have a peace about it. I want you to have a peace about it. I want you to pray for me. He said, every one of the kids in the last year and a half have accepted Christ as their Savior. And three of them have gotten filled with the Holy Spirit. Now you're going to get out of yourself again. The Lord's working. Now there's a more perfect way. We know that. And he had to go on to tell me, this is the problem that we had, and we did have to talk about it, and he was real sweet, when he told me that you could sin your way out of salvation. So I said, now you know the Word of God, explain Romans 8 to me. What can separate you from the love of God? How about that incorruptible seed? Did God give you that? Can you corrupt anything that God gave you? Can you separate yourself from the love of God? And he said, I really appreciate that. I said, it's just the grace of God. I said, did you do anything to earn that salvation he gave you? And he said, no. And I said, well, could you even earn anything? Or is there a reason that he'd let you keep it? If it was free, that he gave it to you anyways? He looked at me and he said, well, I guess not. I said, that's the grace of God. I said, when you really see that and you seize it in your life, that causes you to love him. You don't want to live under fear, man. You're never going to grow under fear. And God has been so gracious to you because you willed to know him. That's why he brought you out of that place. It was magnificent. That whole day was magnificent. There's two other men that the Lord brought me in contact with. This was all on Monday. Surprised I had enough strength to get here today. But let's go over to Samson. He was destroyed by those Philistines. But he really destroyed the Philistines, didn't he? So that they had, that Israel had rest for 20 years. And it was so evident in his life, this wonderful faith, that he was brought up by godly parents and they committed him to God. And I thought that was so sweet again, as we've been talking about how important parents are in the life of a child. The environment, pointing them to the faith. And Samson heard them and he grew up in that same faith. But it was unfortunate and destructive in his life because he desired and married someone out of the will of God. Are you listening over here? Okay. He desired and he married somebody out of the will of God. He was unequally yoked. And the word there goes on to say that he lived pain and misery, isolation, and he truly reaped by sowing to the desire of the flesh. One of the great things that he said that was so sad, "She pleases me." That's what he said to his parents. Well, don't you want one of our people? "No, Mom, no, Dad. She pleases me." It should have been what pleases God. You think so? But that's in everything in our life, isn't it? That's the moment by moment. Well, that pleases me. Well, I want that. I need that. I feel this way. Let's go back to what pleases God. Not what would Jesus do. I appreciate that in a sense. I want God's will. I want to please Him. I want Him working effectually in me so that I am so pleasing to Him and someday so pleasing to my wonderful Lord and Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that He so wants to come and get me. So wonderful. That's the relationship that I want with Him. And that's the choice. That's the choice. And even in this despair, God raises him up because, again, he was taken. They gouged his eyes out. God's will is still accomplished. And as throughout his life he yielded, as the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Many times it says, as the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The Spirit of the Lord is there for each one of us. The Spirit is willing. But we must let and yield to that by faith. Let's go on to Jephthah, Judges 11 and 12. This is the opposite of godly parents. Opposite of godly parents and opposite of the birth of Samson. This person was a bastard. He was a harlot's son, which by the law excluded him from the congregation of the Lord. That's in Deuteronomy 23:2. And what they did there is they cast him out. But this is God we're talking about. And just like Rahab, he uses any vessel that is willing. He uses any vessel that is willing. And most times it's the despised and the rejected. He loves to make the last first, the least the greatest, because it's his might. And I want to comment just for a moment. You think of Noah, and I wrote down a couple things here. In Genesis 6:8, it says that he found grace in God's sight. In Genesis 7:1, it said that God saw righteousness in him. Yet in Genesis 9, Noah is a naked drunk. Okay, and everybody's awake now. Okay, we're going on. Many of these kind of examples, I think you probably know where I'm going. God speaks to Samuel in Genesis 13:14. "I've sought me a man after my own heart." And that's David. Puts his spirit on him, makes him a king. And in 2 Samuel 11, this same David commits adultery and murder. Do you think that God knew that these men would do that? Do you? Doesn't he know everything? I know he knew that. I know he knew exactly what they would do, when they'd do it, how they'd feel, and how they'd fail. Noah found grace in God's sight. "I've sought me a man after my own heart." You know, I'm starting to hear things in this position. And most of the stuff I love what I hear. But some things, it really hurts my heart. And it's self-righteousness. It's self-righteousness. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Ask the Lord to take it from you. It's such a subtle thing. But it's so, so corruptive. It is. It robs you. It'll steal from you. A lot of times, and I'm not going to say a lot of times, and every time really, you go to your brother to remove that mote from their eye. That mote of self-righteousness is so large in yours, you better deal with that first. I mean it. God uses the vessel that's willing. We're human. We're going to do things and make mistakes. Okay? See, I didn't go ahead and use the ones that had failed miserably and then come to know the Lord. I already took the ones. I was going to go right there if you're going to argue with me. Hey, Noah found grace, and there he was. He was naked and drunk. I hear about those things. Now, we don't want that. This isn't a free-for-all. We don't sin willfully that grace may abound. That's not what God's after. But God loves. And He loves unconditionally. And He wants you to love. That's the law that He's left us with. Did you know that? To love. To love one another. To love unconditionally. To cover thy brother. It's important. Brotherly love is important. Now, we're to encourage one another. And if the Lord sees fit to have us to help our brother to show a little bit better, but it's still always to show love. That's what's going to win it. And that's what's going to win someone to God's best. Self-righteousness will rob you. And you'll miss it. You'll miss it. It was like filthy rags to the Lord. It was reputable to Him. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. It stunk. If there was anything the most wicked to Him, it was that. Read the Word. People say, oh, it's the sin of the flesh. It's that. He took out that city for this. He did that. Read what Jesus said about it. Read what He did. How did He know that woman? He said, who touched me? Well, that harlot's rubbing your feet. Do you know where she was? Who without sin, go ahead and cast the first stone at this woman. Know the Word of God. More importantly, know the love of God. That's going to win him. That's the love that he's looking for, is the love that loves like he does and that works in us. Well, in Judges 11, the Lord causes the elders, finally, of Gilead to ask Jephthah to be their captain and their head. And this is so sweet to me because you know what? The grace of God can't be stopped. It can't. They wanted to throw him out. They wanted to live by that law. They had to do this and all that. But you know what? They needed a valiant man to deliver them. And they went and found him. And they said, bring it on, brother. And he goes and defeats those Amorites. But you know, in defeating those Amorites, and we'll close with this one, if you know the story, he vowed a vow to the Lord. And his vow that he vowed to the Lord is, he said, Lord, if you deliver these Amorites into my hand, he says, when I come back to my home, the first one out that door, I'm going to sacrifice to you. The first thing I see. I don't know what he was thinking about. But that poor man, when he walked back home and he came back to his home, the very first one out that door was his daughter. And there was his daughter. Now that'll teach you something as well too. You don't need to vow stuff to the Lord. If it's his will to deliver, you don't need to make a deal with him. You know, a lot of these people you hear pray and say, well, Lord, if you do this, I'll do that. He's not into that. He just loves you. It's free. It's grace. And it's poured on and it's poured out and it's there for you. But I really appreciate where you're talking about by faith and how the Lord encouraged this man. Because even though it was his daughter and he did not want to do it, his daughter even encouraged him by faith, honor God. It hurts sometimes. It's a sacrifice many times, it is. But you know what? The Word of God makes it real clear. You're an heir of God. You're an heir. If you're a child, you're His heir. Do you want to be a joint heir? I do. I want to be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Do you want to be a joint heir? You really want to be a joint heir? It says you're going to have to suffer with me. If you're going to reign with me, you're going to suffer with me. And the sweet thing is his daughter, for that time and what they knew, she knew that. She knew that there was an honor that needed to be done back to the Lord. And that honor was following the Word of God, the will of God. And by faith, Japheth did offer his daughter. And it was wonderful that he entered in to that peace with God. And he had rest, and he knew that God's will would be done and that he would be perfected in it. And that is the faith of our fathers. So many wonderful things in this. Lord willing, we'll talk a little bit about David and we'll move on. I don't want you to think that we're just going to go one verse at a time. But when you have so many of these good characters in here that are expressing such good faith in here, and you want, you know, it's like you say, well, I wish I knew how to do that. I wish I knew how to respond to that. I wish somebody would give me instruction. Read the Word of God. Look at how the response, and it's all by faith. But if you really, really read the Word of God, I'm talking about with your children, with your friends, with your boss, being a boss, how to be a spouse. When do I stop loving? When should I leave someone? Never. Love like God does. All your answers are here. They lived it all. Don't get to thinking it's just because it's a new day. It's the same Jesus. This old world, even Proverbs says, it just spins itself in a circle. Man comes right back and does the same thing again and again and again. There's one thing that doesn't do that. Do you know that? It's the overcomer. He just keeps going. Up and up and up. And it's by faith. And he teaches us that. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Jesus. Just so appreciate you being here this evening with us. Thank you again for your wonderful word, Lord. Help it to work effectually in our lives that, again, that these aren't just mere stories or, you know, nice conversation. You know, hearing a man the other day said, oh, I want to bring out the best in this congregation. I want to bring out the best in these people and all that. Listen to that about 20, 25, 30 minutes. And you know what, Lord? There wasn't one stitch of the Word of God in it. How could we bring out the best if it's not you that's being brought out? We will reap what we sow. And by the grace of God, thank you that you've seen fit by your grace to give us the word to sow in our lives. And it does reap the reward, Lord God. Help us to just trust in you. Increase our faith as our fathers. And we thank you in Jesus' name.